So Rudyard Kipling was the author of a bunch of books. The Jungle Book was one of his more well-known. And Kipling's writings not only made him famous, but also they made him really wealthy. A newspaper reporter came up to him once and he said to him, "I just read that somebody calculated that the money you make from your writings amounts to over $100 a word." And the reporter reached into his pocket and pulled out a $100 bill and gave it to Kipling and said, "Here's a $100 bill, Mr. Kipling. Now can you give me one of your $100 words?" And upon receiving the money, Kipling looked at the money and he put it in his pocket and he said, "Thanks." And he went on his way. This is the $100 word for the day: thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is a somewhat secular holiday, really. It's not something instituted by the church or anything, though the concept of giving thanks, of course, goes back long before, and it's woven deeply into the tradition of the church, woven throughout the scriptures. Our scripture today is titled A Psalm of Thanksgiving. The Psalms have always been important for the growing spiritual lives of Christians. They're a kind of prayer book of the Bible with 150 different prayers and songs for us to read and reflect on. But they can also teach us how to pray. Teach us the really important things about God and about God's character, things we should remember. Psalm 100, a psalm of thanksgiving. One of the central ways of praying we see in the Psalms is giving thanks to God. In this psalm, it invites us in straight from the start. It invites us emphatically to give thanks and to worship God. "Make a joyful noise to the Lord," it says. "Worship the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. Enter his gates with thanksgiving." This is an invitation to give thanks repeated 5 or 6 different ways. In only 5 verses, the task of the believer is laid out for us without question. We are to give thanks to God. Praise God. It seems it wouldn't be reiterated so many times in just 5 verses if it wasn't something we really kind of needed to hear. In 1863, in his Thanksgiving proclamation, Abraham Lincoln, he said that we have forgotten God, he said. "We have forgotten the gracious hand which preserved us in peace and multiplied and enriched and strengthened us. And we have vainly imagined in the deceitfulness of our hearts that all these blessings were produced by some superior wisdom and virtue of our own." Intoxicated with unbroken success, he says. He says, we have become too self-sufficient to feel the necessity of redeeming and preserving grace, too proud to pray to the God that made us. And so, believing this to be true, he instituted this day of thanksgiving for the whole of America. John Ortberg, in his book Soul Keeping, talks about how our souls need to be tended to. Our souls need to be nourished. And one essential aspect of that, he says, is that our souls need gratitude. This is not simply some suggestion to use your manners, say thank you, like Mama says. It's not just a lesson in good manners or a lesson in character building. It's something that our very souls need. Our souls need to give thanks to God. And I think the psalm is in agreement on that. Enter his gates with thanksgiving, it says. Enter into his presence with thanksgiving. Our souls need that, hunger for that. Enter his gates with thanksgiving, the psalmist says. This is the way This is the way we can step out of the chaos of the world, step out of our self-destructive and patterns of pride and self-centeredness, enter his gates with thanksgiving. This is the way that we can come out of all that and come instead into the presence of God. Our souls can come and be nourished in the presence of God. Our souls need gratitude. There was a family who sat around the breakfast table one morning, and the father, he gave thanks, blessing God for the food. And immediately after, however, he began to grumble just a little bit, to whine some about hard times, about the poor quality of the food that he was eating. The eggs were cold. The muffins were a little dry and stale. The coffee was too weak. And his little daughter interrupted him and said, "Dad, do you suppose God heard what you said a little while ago when you were giving thanks?" Certainly, the father replied. And did he hear what you said about the eggs and the muffins and the coffee?" she said. "Of course," replied the father. "God hears everything." Then his daughter asked, "Dad, which did God believe?" This is too revealing, too much like me. So terribly inconsistent in my gratitude, saying thanks in one moment and in the next, forgetting. In this world where too often we tend to close ourselves off in pride, in a kind of false sense of self-achievement, forgetting the giver of the good gifts in the first place, we need this psalm for our own good. We need this push to give thanks, not just for a moment or for this season, but to live thanks moment after moment, day after day. In this age where giving thanks seems so out of the ordinary, gratitude is countercultural. This kind of spirit of giving thanks is something now, it's something worth nurturing. In Jesus' day, devout Jews would pray what was called the 18 benedictions, a thank you 18 times for God's benefits given to them. And so in the morning when they would wake up, they would pray 18 times, "Blessed are you, God." At night, before they went to bed, they would pray 18 times, "Blessed are you, God." In the middle of the day, they would pause and they would pray 18 times, "Blessed are you, Lord, who abundantly forgives." And then on the Sabbath day, they would pray the 18 an extra time, just because they were recognizing their souls were grateful. So they prayed it again. These benedictions connected the gifts that they received with the giver of the gifts. "Blessed are you, God." They received the gift of a new day, waking up, and so they said, "Blessed are you, God." Before bed, saying, "Blessed are you, God," they were reminded of the gift that the day was, remembering all that the day, all the good that came from that day. The Hebrew term for gratitude are these two little words that mean literally, they mean recognizing the good. Gratitude is recognizing the good that God has given us. In the Thanksgiving psalm we read, it starts as an invitation to give thanks. It offers this invitation to worship and to praise the Lord multiple times. But then the psalmist does something more that I think is important for us. There's this great invitation to give thanks, but then it shifts and it offers up for us a list of reasons too, good reasons that we should be giving thanks to God. "Know that the Lord is God," it says. Know, remember, recognize the good. And then all these reasons. "It is God who made us," the psalm says. "It is God who made us. We are his people, like the sheep of his pasture. Give thanks to God. Bless his name, it says, for the Lord is good. God is good. Give thanks to God because God is good. We see this over and over if we're watching in God's generosity toward us in this life. I'll listen to the Dave Ramsey show every once in a while. He's a financial guy. People will call in with all their financial questions for him, and without fail, whenever the person calls in, they'll say, "Hi, Dave, how are you?" And that's his cue, because every time they say, "How are you?" and he'll respond, "Better than I deserve." Every time, "Better than I deserve." It's almost annoyingly true. Better than I deserve. Give thanks. Bless his name, for the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever. The psalmist says it is faithfulness to all generations. All these reasons. His faithfulness to all generations. Steadfast love. Even after all of my terribly inconsistent efforts at giving thanks. Even in the midst of our fleeting, our erratic attempts and failures in gratitude, God is steadfast. That is just how God is. God is steadfast in love for us, the terribly undeserving. And yet God is enduring in love, faithfulness to all generations. And these things, all these reasons, God's goodness, God's steadfast love, his faithfulness are certainly qualities that are worthy of being thankful, worthy of praise. I read one pastor say that the Christian life is one big thank you. Our Christian lives, as we try to live as best as we can, to live them faithfully day by day, they are one big thank you to God, our response to the love of God. In the face of God's great generosity, God's enduring, steadfast love for the undeserving, we then live our lives in response, living with gratitude. The church is called to be this people, so counterculturally rejoicing in the Lord, giving thanks with joy overflowing because we know all of these reasons, because we know the love of God, we know the goodness of God, and we want to say thank you. There is no better testimony to the love of God, to the goodness of God, than God's people living life like we're grateful, like we know God's goodness and God's love. Greg Anderson tells a story about a man whose wife had left him. And he was completely depressed. He had lost his faith in himself and in other people and God, found no joy in living. And one rainy morning, this man went to a small neighborhood restaurant for breakfast. And although several people were at the diner, no one was speaking to anyone else in the room. And he hunched over the counter and stirred his coffee with a spoon. In one of the small booths along the window, there was a young mother and her little girl. And they had just been served their food when the little girl broke the sad silence in the room by almost shouting, "Mommy, why don't we say our prayers here?" And the waitress, who had just served their breakfast, turned around and said, sure, honey, we can pray here. Will you say the prayer for us?" And then she then turned and looked at the rest of the people in the restaurant and said, "Bow your heads." And one by one, the heads went down. And the little girl bowed her head and folded her hands and said, "God is great. God is good. And we thank him for our food. Amen." And the amazing thing was that prayer began to change the whole atmosphere in the room. And people began to talk with one another. The waitress said, we should do that every morning. We should do that every morning. All of a sudden, said our friend, the man, he said, my whole frame of mind started to change, to improve. From that little girl's example, I started to thank God for all that I did have and not all that I didn't have. I started to be grateful. Julian of Norwich said that the greatest honor that we can give to God is to live gladly because of the knowledge of his love. Live gladly. It's the greatest honor we can give to God, living with thanksgiving each day. It can change. It can change not only our hearts, not only our souls. It can change the room, the very room we're sitting in. It can change the world that we're living in. Amen.